Len, right now it's a little on the cool side up here in Chicago, but there is some talk that we might get another really good week in the 70s next week. So hopefully the golf courses will remain open. Everybody will get a chance to get out and play. One thing I am hearing from more of our clubs is when they close this year, they're going to close. It's been a busy year. The courses have seen a lot of stress. The staffs have been have had to work very hard. And as a result, instead of closing for a week because there's snow and then maybe reopening a week later when the temperatures go back up to the 60s for a couple days, doesn't sound like that's going to be something that a lot of clubs in the Chicago area do this year.
Well, I can see that. We're in the opposite vein here, of course. I mean, the weather in Florida is just picture perfect now. It's cooled off. We're not up in the 90s anymore. We're high 70s, mid 80s here in Sarasota, Florida. I'm looking out over a short, small body of water that will look become the 11th fairway of the Champions Course at Balmaire Country Club, a course that Illinois architect Mike Benkuski has been doing a major renovation on. It's supposed to open in mid-November, and as I see out my window, we even have an alligator that is working his way over to the golf course. So if an alligator's there, golfers cannot be far behind in Florida.
Len, I think you need to get out there with your net and remove him and either send him up to the chef or back to a swamp over to the closer to the line on the water on the Gulf.
That's right. That's right. We're not that far from the Everglades, so he probably won't be there that long.
Well, Len, the other thing that is getting interesting, there was a feature today in one of the magazines. It was written by well-known architecture guru Brad Klein, who's been talking to various architects and people in golf course construction, and they're all saying there's no shortage of business and clubs now having money to do renovation work and different things, but everything from grass seed to plastic piping for drainage is getting hard to get. Apparently, one construction guy saying we're waiting 16 weeks to get our plastic PVC drainage piping in, and he goes 16 weeks if you can get it at all. And some guys are saying that some of the things they did at the beginning of COVID, prices are up on certain products as much as 30% in the last 18 months.
It is a strange time for that, isn't it? There we have, of course, we saw in Chicago that I think the final count now is six clubhouses were being built or in various stages of construction, and usually that's a rarity in season or out of season in the Chicago area. So money was available to do this kind of work, it's a problem industry wide, not just the golf industry, all industries now about obtaining whatever is needed to do what you got to do. I mean, we're hearing in Florida how hard it's going to be for us to get the Christmas gifts to buy when the time comes. So it always seems like it's always one thing or another, but golf has come through this much better than most industries, I think.
You'll have to speed over to the Palmyre Clubhouse and hurry up and get my Palmyre Country Club golf shirt before they sell out around the holidays, because you don't want to have to order online and hope it arrives in time. So we'll definitely be looking forward to that. But yeah, one of the other shortages that is being talked about is the potential shortage in Surlyn. And Surlyn, a product used in the covers of golf balls. And there's some talk of a golf ball shortage next summer where some companies may not even make some of their cheaper lines of balls. And then the ones they do make will be the more expensive ones, and they're going to cost more. There's even talk of balls like Titleist Pro Vs being over $70 a dozen. And I'm not sure if that includes the tax or not. So there is some recommendation from some of the guys who sell golf balls to stock up around the holidays. Somebody's trying to figure out what to buy somebody who plays golf. Get them a dozen golf balls. They might need them by next July.
Sure, that's scary stuff. I'm sure we'll know a lot more about that in comes come the time of the PGA Merchandise Show. here in Orlando in January. I got good news on that one. I viewed it as good news because you hear about all the, a lot of companies aren't going to make it this year. But from the last report from the event staff, there's going to be about 70 to 80% of the previous attendees, and this was an event that drew 40,000 visitors a year, industry visitors a year. They're still planning on coming with the same number of people they came in the past. So, you know, I think things are happening. Remains such a precarious time. I mean, a shortage of golf balls. Who would have ever thought that was even predictable? We'll see what happens, but I think that as I get closer and closer to that great big show that you and I have been to so many times, I think we'll all have a better handle on everything by then.
Yeah, I saw some of those numbers, and based on the people that are planning on coming and the fact that many of the ones that didn't say for sure they were coming, they're still thinking about coming. They're undecided yet. They're not saying definitely no. So the show attendance that's been around 42,000 the last couple of years prior to the pandemic, it sounds like we can expect at least 30,000, if not 35 this year. So, yeah, it'll be a little smaller crowd. It might be a little easier to get around some of the aisles. There might be a couple less boots, but it sounds like for the most part, people are coming.
I'm certainly looking forward to it. My golf season here in Florida is kicking in now as far as tournament coverage goes. I have two LPGA events and a Champions Tour event coming up in November. I'm really looking forward to them. I haven't, it seems like the Ryder Cup was a long time ago, but it really wasn't. It was just a few weeks, and it was a great memory and seemed like the logical time to climax the year, which I'm sure it was. But, the LPGA, they finished their season much later, two tournaments in Florida, and then it'll be a month off, and they'll begin their next season in Florida. So I'm at the heart of the women's game right now, and the TimberTech Championship on the Champions Tour has gone from a regular season's opener to a postseason playoff event this year. So it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of old friends at those events.
Well, and the events that we have here to look forward to may not exactly be a tournament, even though, believe it or not, starting last night was the first week of the outside, but under roof, under the heaters, was the Top Tracer Outdoor Golf League at Cog Hill, which is going to run into December. And so I forget how many teams, 36 teams are allowed to be a part of that. I'm not sure if you can still join now that week one is complete, but it's interesting to see at this time of the year a golf league start up that's it's going to run for about 8 to 10 weeks.
Yeah, and also it's not just hitting the ball indoors either. This is really a novel concept that they're up trying over there. I would love to be there to see just how this works out. I think it's going to be a big success. I think it may be one of the big big next trends in the game, especially in the northern climates like that, to give golfers the chance to do more and more in the fresh outdoors, even though there is some shelter, even though they can, it's better than not playing at all. And it sure seems like it's going to be a lot of fun for those participating.
One thing we have to do here is we need to talk about our great sponsors, the people over at the Mistwood Golf Club and the Mistwood Golf Dome. And the golf course is still open outside. I think it's going to be yet for at least two, maybe three more weeks. But even before Mistwood Golf Club shuts down, the golf course, of course, located on Renwick Road in Romeoville and also the home of McWethy's Tavern, and the Fitting Center, Performance Center that they have over there, one of the top 100 facilities for club fitting in America. We have learned from Director of Golf Andy Michelson that the Dome is going to open November 1st. Yeah, on Monday, November 1st, the Golf Dome is going to open, and people will be allowed to take their game inside already if the temperatures drop by 3 weeks from now. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see, and Michelson says that There's a lot of new upgrades to the dome. They've been working on them all summer long. So it'll be interesting to see what they are, if the top tracer technology has been changed at all a little bit, and what else might have been added. I'm sure the famed chicken wings there and barbecue that has always been a part of the dome will continue to be there. Perhaps there's even a new menu, but we're going to learn more about it in the next couple of weeks. And, of course, the Mistwood Golf Dome, located on Route 53 in Bolingbrook. So it's a great place to go hit some balls and keep your game in shape all winter long.
Yeah, I tell you, Mistwood is, of course, one of the very, very top hot spots for golf when the weather is great. And there's no reason it shouldn't be the same when the weather is more of the winter side, because they do things right at Mistwood. It's we're lucky to have a facility, and not just a facility, a couple of them, if you count the Mistwood Duke Golf Dome and the golf course. They're top notch, one of the best in the country.
Well, and I know that it was great, I'm sure, for you to get back up here and play Mistwood this summer for the first time in a couple of years. And I don't think we've talked about this. There was also a memorial for the late owner, Jim McWethy, who passed away, unfortunately, last year. The family finally got around to feeling enough people could attend during the pandemic to do it and do it right. And they sure did. And it was great to wander around and see a lot of Jim's personal collections of golf items and other things, and sample different beverages and foods that were his favorites in life to enjoy.
Yeah, he was one of the really, really great people in Chicago golf. I would think, you know, the next honor for Jim, and it'll be really well-deserved, I'm sure, is he certainly would be a strong candidate for our next Illinois Golf Hall of Fame inductions, which will be still 2 years away. But Jim did so much for golf. We miss him already. And it's great that Mistwood is still going strong, because that was his baby. It was his baby. It's something to really be proud of. And the people running it now are carrying on in the tradition that Jim started.
Well, and when you were up here in town, we also took an afternoon. We stopped over at the Fox Run Golf Links in Elk Grove, and we saw that there'd been a lot of progress made on their new clubhouse. And from talking to the people at Elk Grove, I think they were hoping that by the second week in November, they'd be putting golfers through that clubhouse. So I think we're going to have to get over there and check that out and see if indeed they are close to starting to have the golfers check in at the new clubhouse, and people getting to enjoy food and beverage and the six or eight slot machines that they have over there, and have some more fun over in Elk Grove at Fox Run. How about that? Let's do that. Fox Run.
Yeah, that'll be that's going to be another nice addition to the Chicago golf scene, to have a year-round facility going on over there. It won't be pure golf. It'll be a lot of just good, healthy entertainment and dining and stuff, but simulators will be there. It'll be on golf course grounds, and it'll benefit everybody.
Len, last week I went back up to Wisconsin and took part in an outing that you and I teamed up for when they had the first one about 9 years ago, the Langford Shield, in honor of William Langford, the great Chicago-based architect who built Lawsonia Links up in the middle of Wisconsin. And it is a really good golf course, and it's an immaculate condition. The greens were rolling outstanding. My partner and I, we didn't play the best golf, but you really got to give it to Oliphant, Haltom Golf, and the people at Lawsonia, because they have that facility really rolling here in the fall months.
I remember our time over there. It was a place that I was not familiar with, though the course had been there for a while. I just had not been there, but it was a good place then, and I understand. It has only progressed from the year that we played there. It's so much good golf in Wisconsin. I'm interested in getting a report sooner or later on how long the courses there are able to remain open. You'd think in the past they always closed a little bit before the Illinois facilities did, but there's just so much good golf in Wisconsin too that I'm sure they'll try to keep them open just as long as they can.
Well, some courses have shut down already. I know that Erin Hills has closed. And if they didn't close last weekend, Sand Valley, I believe, is closing this weekend. And pretty soon, a full feature coming up by our friend from Wisconsin.golf, Gary D'Amato, who did post one picture on social media today. He took a tour yesterday of the brand new Lido course that is being replicated up at Sand Valley. And Tom Doak and his team are up there hard at work. And they're talking about some limited play on that golf course next fall. So I look forward to getting up there and seeing it, and also maybe visiting one or two more Wisconsin golf courses before they shut it down.
You know, the Lido is a fascinating story. It's reconstructing a course from years and years and years ago that was famous, and they're taking it from one climate into another and adding it to what's already a great facility there in Wisconsin. So it's going to be, I think that's going to be one of the first highlights that we know we'll be looking for come the 22 season.
Well, Len, I'm sure you're disappointed now being a West Coast of Florida resident, because if you were still back at your own homestead in Port St. Lucie, you could have been out covering round one today of the Senior Professional Championship, or the Senior Club Pro. Nine pros from the Illinois PGA section are down there competing, headed up by our good friend and 2021 Erie Ball Award-winning Roy Biancalana, our Illinois PGA section Player of the Year. And we're going to root for Roy and the other eight players, including Mike Small, the golf coach at the University of Illinois. Hopefully one of them can make a run and make the cut. And I believe the top 35 are going to get in the Senior PGA Championship next year, which will return after a few years away because of the pandemic to Harbor Shores Golf Club right around the lake in Benton Harbor, Michigan.
Yeah, we surely should have some good Illinois representation there. You know, it's going to be especially an interesting week to see how Mike Small does, because his Fighting Illini season just came to an end last week, and they made progress. They weren't one of his better teams in the fall, but they got better and better as the week went on. They have a player named Hunt who's going to be a real comer over there, Pearson Hunt. And so it's Mike has been, he's a coach first. There's no question about that. He's always maintained that. He's a coach first. But he's won his share of tournaments in the latter years of his competitive days. And I would never rule Mike Small out of an event like the one going on in Port St. Lucie this week.
Well, Pearson Hunt, who joined the Illini from Wisconsin, where he is from, I believe. He is in from Heartland or Hartfield, Wisconsin, somewhere in the vicinity of Erin Hills up there. But he's really taken off very quickly, and he seems to be the guy right now who's playing the best for the Illini, and he might be the guy putting that team on his back, you know, as they've wrapped up the fall. But when they get into the spring and they go on that stretch run trying to keep their streak alive of appearing in the national championships, they may only go as far as Pearson Hunt is able to carry them.
Yeah, he's apparently a very promising player. I believe he won the Wisconsin Amateur, as amongst many things, this last summer. He sounds like he's coming in there with a reputation of a Nick Hardy, you know, a player like that. Well, actually, a Dylan Meyer too. Dylan Meyer, when he came to Illinois, he won his first college tournament and he came out a champion right away. They became great college players, and of course Nick now has made a cut in his first two starts as a member of the PGA Tour. So a lot of good golf, a lot of good thoughts for Pearson Hunt as the University of Illinois takes a brief break in its season, but the best is yet to come.
Len, we're starting to see a few more ads in regards to the Brooks versus Bryson 12-hole shootout in Las Vegas the day after Thanksgiving. Is the hype and the excitement starting to build on your end?
Not at all, I'm afraid. Not at all. That one, it's something different. I guess it's the way to look at it. It's at a time of the year where the golf you know, the golf world is starting to shut down a little bit on, and that element of the golf world, the major players, they're going to pick up a little loose cash on special events. They call it the silly season, and a 12-hole exhibition match between two guys who feuded all year until the Ryder Cup. That's a little silly, but I'll probably watch it. I got to say, I'll probably want to see it. It'll certainly want to know who won. If we're picking winners, I'm going with DeChambeau on that one.
DeChambeau played pretty well at the Ryder Cup, better than some people thought he would. Also, Koepka really played better at the Ryder Cup than some people thought he would. Coming back off of a knee injury and a wrist injury and all of those other things. So we'll have to see how it all shakes out. Rory McIlroy with an all-important 20th win. And that cements him into a few things down the line, potentially the World Golf Hall of Fame. But for a guy who was emotionally distraught over his poor play at the Ryder Cup, it was nice to see him bounce back in the CJ Cup in Las Vegas last week.
This was not a Rory McIlroy type of year. And he's left the Ryder Cup somewhat in tears, certainly choked up. And this was a big bounce back, a big, big bounce back for Rory. I never thought he wouldn't be a great player again. He was really just, he was not ordinary. But Rory McIlroy will never be ordinary as a golfer. But it was surprising that he certainly didn't have the year that he has had in most all of his career. But that win, I think, will be a real revitalizing effect on him. And I'm sure he'll come back in like gangbusters in 2022.
Before the weather changes, I'm going to have to make sure I run out and get back out to the Mistwood Golf Club in Romeoville on Renwick Road, 815-254-3333, because I've just noticed that they have a fall winter apparel sale in the pro shop over there. All sorts of long sleeve and warmer apparel is in the pro shop, and you can get out there and get it right now and maybe even find some specials that may not exist by the time Black Friday gets here. And all of that clothes are moved over to the Mistwood Golf Dome in Bolingbrook. And again, a reminder, the Golf Dome, the Mistwood Golf Dome, will be open November 1st, and we're waiting to hear from Andy Michelson what all the upgrades and improvements are going to be over at the Golf Dome. But hopefully there'll still be at least close to another month here where people can play outside in relatively warm weather. And I know from talking to John Parsons over at the Schaumburg Golf Club this week and next week, he told me they're still pretty crowded on the outdoor side of golf. So that's a good thing for the courses. And Lenny, we hope it'll stay that way.
You bet. I'm trying to think of how late the season was in my history over there when I was a regular Illinois resident. I remember frequently playing on Thanksgiving morning with family matches, and I don't know, that'd give them well more than a full month left. So I think that there's going to be a good fall. If people want to grab every last second of golf they can this year, and why not enjoy it? Enjoy the rest of the season.
Just so you know, and I'm sure you'll want to drive back up for this one after your New Year's party, January 2nd, the Eskimo Open at Cog Hill. It's now officially scheduled.
Ah, that's a tradition. I played in that about, I think, 10 years in a row, way back when, even when the snow was really piled high. So it was a lot of fun. You got to have that bowl of chili and a beer when you're done. It tops off a pretty good day at just the right time. It helps you get over the Christmas holidays and do something that is a little refreshing and get you looking ahead to the spring and what's coming on for the golf scene after that.
The first golf outing of the year, the Eskimo Open, live from Cog Hill. With that, Len, we're going to wrap it for the week here. We will be back next week to review all sorts of new topics, what's happening in golf around Chicago, and maybe talk a little bit more about some of the clubs that are planning multi-million-dollar improvements over the next few years. And Len, pretty soon we got to sit back and we've got to rate our best travel destinations. That podcast is coming.
Beautiful. That'll be a fun one. That should be. A lot of people are going to want to hear our choices in there because we have difference of opinion, but we're bringing in a lot of different locations where people can spend their winter time on the golf course.
With that, we'll call it a week.